When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta.
Welcome to A View from the Stands. This is your co-host Rudraneel, wishing that you are safe and in high spirits as much as is possible in these difficult times. Co-host Aditya Iyer is not joining us today. He's on a well-earned break. And instead, we have a very special guest, senior journalist Sharda Ogra, one of the finest sports writers in India. And we are going to talk about the Indian women's cricket team, who just finished an ODI series against South Africa. And, you know, there were some huge landmarks that were hit. The biggest one, of course, is Captain Mithali Raj reaching 10,000 runs across formats in the women's game. She's only the second player in the world after England's Charlotte Edwards to hit that stage. She also leads the global standings in terms of ODI, women's ODI runs at 7,000 runs. And we had Jhulan Goswami, who picked up 4 wickets in the second ODI to reach 233 ODI wickets, which is so far above everybody else in the game right now that it's not even funny. Sharda, welcome to the show. And I hope you saw some of those matches.
Hi, Rudro. Thank you so much. And thanks for all the kind words. I saw a bit of those matches, not all, but a bit. And yes, like you're seeing, absolutely, epic level kind of records that we had from both Mithali and Jhulan, stalwarts of the women's game for, more than a decade. In Mithali's case, almost 2 decades now.
In Mithali's case, just a little bit more than 2 decades. And in Jhulan's, just like a few months short of 2 decades. So that's incredible longevity.
Crazy, considering all the challenges that they have had to handle over these last 2 decades, the changes in the game, in the women's game, the absence of matches, I think that just struck everyone home so powerfully over the last year. That the women were given no matches to play. What is a competitor? After all, they want to compete. So considering all these achievements that both Mithali and Jhulan have crossed and have marks that they have set, despite everything, that is what is truly remarkable. And their energy and appetite and love for the game still persists. It's quite amazing, and hats off to them.
And thank you for bringing that up. In fact, talking about these gaps, because I have some data here that will blow your mind. I'm going to do it like tracking Mithali's career from the time she made her debut, but this applies to Jhulan as well, because this applies to the Indian women's team overall. And this is this, that Mithali made her debut for India in 1999. She hit a century in her debut ODI. Do you know how many days she had to wait before she played another ODI?
If you're asking me, it could be anything between 5 and 365. That's how absurd and disproportionate it is.
Let's take the upper end of that limit. It was 508 days before she played another ODI tournament, and not because she was injured or out of form, but because India did not play a single ODI tournament for close to 2 years. And then they straightaway went to the 2000 World Cup. And they played in that World Cup. And then the next gap, the next time India played another ODI, was 398 days later. And if our listeners think that I'm talking of a different era, 1999, that's long gone, everything has progressed so much, the women's game has grown by leaps and bounds, let me correct that, because wait for it, India hosted the 2013 World Cup, having not played an ODI for 204 days. At the 2017 World Cup, Mithali led the team to its second final. Then they played no cricket for 200 days. And when India played South Africa in this ODI series that just concluded last week, It was 328 days since the last played an international match. And that last international match was the final of the T20 World Cup. So it almost seems like it doesn't matter.
You're just speechless listening to these numbers, because we've known these facts. They've been there. But when you put them down in numbers, you just look at it and you see lack of opportunity, lack of pathway, lack of imagination on the part of the people that are running women's cricket in India, and how much they care. It's so evident that it's literally like the women's team are second-class citizens. Can you imagine a men's team going without playing an entire year? I mean, never mind 500 and whatever days, there would be fans on the streets and effigies would be burnt, and proper effigies and proper fans and not sort of fabricated things. It's outrageous and ludicrous that this has been allowed to happen, and it still persists. It's not that it's changed, and you know, just because they have contracts, they should be grateful. They want matches. You have to give them matches to play, because everything depends on this turnover and churnover of your talent and your players that are there. And this is a World Cup year again, and you're wondering when are they going to play between now and whatever they have planned. But is there anything else? They've got a tour finally. But you know, I have very little. Faith in the forward thinking sort of mindset in the BCCI. I have very little when it comes to women's cricket. Very little. I mean, you know, you would be stupid not to have any, not to be cynical about it, having seen, you know, the past.
So for somebody who's been, you know, who's been seeing this for so many years now, what explains this? I mean, you know, this is a sport, and in a sport, you are only as good as how many matches you play. And I mean, even our most neglected Olympic disciplines, let's say rowing. I think the rowers in from India get more international matches, tournaments to go and perform in than our cricket team does. How do you explain this kind of neglect?
The gap is enormous. You know, when you're looking at how, you would have to say that when compared to any other women athletes in the country, like Olympic sports, high profile, priority sports in the country, they get much better game time and training time and just visibility time. You know, this is the women's hockey team, the badminton players, the wrestlers, the boxers, the shooters. They just get much more opportunities and they just get much more visibility when compared to the women's cricket team. And the women's cricket team are being governed by the richest board in the world, the most powerful board in the world, the board with the biggest resources, and it's sort of, you know, personnel staff of about 5,500 players and 500 officials. So you ask me what the reason is. The reason is just, you know, it's tone deafness and blindness to the fact that this is a part of their game that they need to be looking at. You know, because there was such a hue and cry about it that they staged those four women's T20 matches during the IPL, because it's outrageous. Right. The girls had a chance to go and play WBBL. They had a chance to take part in a triangular series, but it's just that they just couldn't care. And if there was a professional set of people, like a professional set, separate from the egos of the top management, I mean, of the top sort of, you know, office bearers, if a professional set had to run women's cricket without their interference of so president, treasurer, honorary secretary, secretary, all these kind of people, they do a much better job, because they'll actually even be working at getting tours going. They won't look at every series and every tour as sort of like a little ego contest between that other board and BCCI. You know, it won't be that kind of mentality. But they don't have that, because we all know that the BCCI lopped off a lot of its professional management. They've got a couple of people back on again in various posts. But this is the thing. Because they literally have tried to eliminate any accountability or any answerability. And because it's women's cricket, they think no one's going to pay attention. Nobody cares. They'll just keep doing social media. You'll just see them on TV. Are you going to see them play? Because what happened in 2017, I think that must have spooked the BCCI people a lot. They say, oh God, this we cannot handle now. Another round of work we'll have to do. You know, that kind of, you know, other than winning our elections and fighting our court cases and spending money, you mean we have to pay attention to the game like we're starting afresh, as though this is 95 or 96 that we have to start our game. And because there's money in it, let's start the women's game from scratch, almost that kind of an approach. I know I'm ranting, but it's completely annoying.
Yeah, I mean, and also, I mean, the usual kind of reasons given, okay, there's a lack of interest. I don't think that is true at all. I think there's a lot of interest in the women's game, and it's kind of sad to see that India being almost a single sport nation where cricket is everything. And like you pointed out, our board is the richest cricket board in the world. We have more influence than any other cricket board in the world. But yet, look at Australia. Look at the women's game in Australia. They are, you know, really on a different level altogether. The Women's Big Bash League does so well. In England, it's really good. I think even in Pakistan, you cannot accuse of having a lot of riches. You know, even their women's team gets more matches than the Indian women do. And it's really sad considering the level of performance that our women put up whenever they get the chance to play. So this lack of interest or lack of viewership, it cannot possibly be a reason. It's just the BCCI's own lethargy at doing anything about it.
It's chauvinism. There's no other way to describe it. I know it's sounding like some complete, like, you know, pulpit basher, but it is pure chauvinism. There's no other explanation for it, because all the other obstacles that other women's teams may have, the BCCI does not have. The BCCI has infrastructure, grounds, personnel, as in people to handle the game. They need a guide, a sort of a pathway, and they need a structural map, and they need a calendar. That's it. And when it kicks in goes into autopilot, the BCCI can hold 2,000 matches in a year. You know, that's how extraordinary their capabilities are. But look at what's happened now, because COVID has become a great excuse to not do anything. You know, back off and let's not bother about anything. Okay, we'll do a little men's matches and people will be happy. Now, imagine what that does to the morale of young women players that are there. You know, Shefali Varma, Jemima, Poonam Yadav. What is it going to do to them to see this is the way they're being treated? Why would I want to be a young cricket player if I've got no games to play? You know, right. If I've got no tournaments to go to at a club level or at a first class level? We can understand that when they're saying that, it's not that there's not enough interest. The numbers may not be as big as they are in the men's game, but they won't be minuscule. They won't be small. You have to go out and find talent and you'll find it. I mean, I'd gone to Shillong for a football tournament once, and the Meghalaya Cricket Association had gone out and scouted for girls to hold an under-16 camp, under-19 camp. And they were teaching them the basics, but there were girls there who were so interested. And what has happened also is across the country, the IPL has caught everybody's fancy. Even the non-cricket watching audience as such engages with the IPL. They understand the IPL. They understand 2020. So when, you know, officials come up in one corner of the country and say, we want your girls to play cricket, and, you know, 2020 is a format that they use, they'll get a massive response. The franchises want to have the women's IPL. What is the reason that you're not having it? Because it means organization and work and putting your mind into something other than just your own little, you know, kingdom that you've been running for these few months now. And when I'm coming back to chauvinism, is that at one point, railways, the two big fortresses of the women's game for a very long time were railways and Air India. The railway sports secretary was told to her face by a BCCI official that women should not be playing cricket. And this was not very long ago. To her face, it was said, you know, and this is the attitude that there is. And still, despite that, we're getting players like Harmanpreet, you know, outstanding sort of big hitters like Shefali.
Yes.
You know, look at the things that girls are doing to play. And what are you? What is your response to this energy? It's like, I'm sorry, dial it down. Everybody go home, and women don't need to play cricket. Can't play cricket. Shouldn't play cricket. All those things.
Yes, because we've been hearing about a women's IPL for some time now. And I bet you that if there was a women's IPL, they will have humongous viewership. They will make a lot of revenue. All those things that are important for the people who run cricket, that, oh, we have to get something in return, and they will get that in return. What does it take for them to put a women's IPL in place, considering that the, you know, the men's IPL has been running for so long and it's so well oiled, the machinery? We have so many franchise teams. You know, it takes nothing for them to start a women's version of it. But yet, that has not happened. What we get is 3 or 4 exhibition matches, as if that's like something huge, which is what it was made out to be when it happened in Dubai, this IPL. Oh my God, look, the women are getting a chance to play. I mean, come on.
And it's like, basically, it's like crumbs. Now, I'm going to say something that's slightly controversial. What if someone went to Mrs. Nita Ambani and said, ma'am, please help us organize a women's IPL? She will do it in 5 minutes. It will be organized, sorted, done. Okay, 5 minutes is an exaggeration. 10 days mein ho jayega. It will get done. Someone has to just light the fire under the chair of the right person. And in the BCCI, it looks like, you know, and no one has the guts to light the fire under the chair of anyone in the BCCI. You know, so everyone's sitting tight. Nobody's saying anything. broadcasters are just giving us homilies and cliches all the time. But the game, the women's game, needs genuine, strong, forceful leaders to say, you have to do something for us. And not that allow karenge, permission denge. That's not the approach. Everywhere in the world, Rudro, the Olympics wants to have mixed competition, right? Where they can in whichever yes. event that they can. There's going to be a mixed 4x400 meter relay race in Tokyo. And right. the Olympic Association, Olympic movement, for all its flaws, wants 50% representation, and it is pushing to get 50% representation. Why is the BCCI right. pretending like they belong in the 1500s? This is the mindset.
And just for the record, I am so excited about the mixed relay. It'll be so cool to watch.
Honestly, you just think of it. Yeah. And I remember watching it in the Asian Games. It was wow. It was such fun.
Because it will be so strategic as well. It's not going to be just about, okay, who's running fastest. There will be a new kind of strategy that needs to be put in place for this, which will be
fascinating. Who do you pick against who? Exactly. And there are going to be mixed events in shooting, where India's got really good chance to win gold medals. And you're saying, you remember that little thing called, they did this some advertising campaign that they ran. Fortunately, I'm not employed by anybody, so I can say it. It was called Challenge Accepted. It was an alcohol company. I forgot it, some company. Challenge Accepted. Okay. Ads ran across TV. We are going to have the mix match. Nothing happened. It was just shoshabazi to push a brand through all the time. And this kind of nonsense sort of things you don't need. And I think, like I said, what really spooked the BCCI, the people in the BCCI, whoever, and it's not a thing of individuals. It is like a organizational sort of ennui that is there, or organizational chauvinism, I don't know. I'm just very furious about it. The more I think about it, the more angry I get. That when the public responded to the Indian women playing that final in 2017 and following the last 2-3 knockout games, that's when they said, this can actually get out of our control. At the moment, women's cricket has been in our control. It's nice, down, packed in a little box. Once in a while, they do something. And that's why, that is what I think must have freaked them out completely. Now, you can't only have your women's. Will you have your men's team only play World Cups and one series in between? Every 2 years, one series for some tournament, some Chotu tournament, ICC tournament that's coming. Achha, World T20, we'll have one series before that. The next 1 year, we'll sit and when World Cup is coming again, will you allow the men's team to do that? Will that be even accepted? No.
Amazing. And the amazing thing is the women's team still make the finals. Exactly.
Imagine the talent. Imagine the quality that is there. Imagine these are all girls that go to coaching academies around the country and play with the boys. Very, very few. There are very, very few academies structured only for women's coaching. All these girls grew up playing with boys. Like the story of Anju Chopra and playing under Tarak Sinha's coaching at Sonnet. That's the kind of cricketers we have produced. The women cricketers.
So Shafali went to the club where she learned. She was the only woman in that coaching center.
Yeah, and you remember all the stuff. How she actually played in a boys' match, dressed up like a boy. And it's a very lovely, it's a very sweet story. It's a lovely story, but you're looking at this and saying, could nobody organize a women's game? Is there nobody? It's not like she has come from the wilds of Rajasthan in the middle of the desert. She comes from like largely populated tracts of this country, close to big cities, close to tier two towns. What is this?
Looking at all these problems and it really blows your mind then that Jhulan Goswami has 329 wickets across formats, which is the highest in the women's game, that Mithali Raj has 10,000 runs, which is she's the only player, second player in the world to do that. I mean, where would they have been if they were playing regularly, right? Their records would have been untouchable for generations.
Really, untouchable for generations. So you're like talking Bradman-esque figures and Sober-esque figures, and I'm trying to find this thing for Jhulan, but just Jhulan-esque figures because of the kind of person and the kind of player that she is. You would have these numbers that you couldn't catch. Like you have those statistics that come out of American baseball in 1930 and 90, like that kind of stuff you'll be hearing. Just wild numbers. So, and you're thinking, that you have allowed this to go waste in a way. Think of it as a mine and you're sitting there and there's sort of mineral wealth there and you can't be bothered, because you're too busy chasing something else. You're too busy occupying your time doing something else. I mean, I'm just astonished at both Julan and Mithali's appetite for the game as to not give up and to actually be of absolutely top global standard. Like one of the South African batters said that because of Julan's height, she bowls at a man's length. You know,
yeah, and Julan has
managed to stay in the game, stay relevant, stay competitive all this time. And the women's game has changed tremendously in the last two decades. So, and still you have kept up with it. You have kept pace with it. Okay, she stopped playing 2020. Yeah. That is her decision that she took. But she's still very much there. I mean, imagine a match in which Australia has to chase, 10 runs in the last over. Who would you give the bowling to? You'd say, Julan, please help, you know, automatically, right. Eyes closed.
Absolutely, eyes closed. So, you know, on that note, we'll finish with this episode. But, you know, I really hope that because we have some incredible names right now in the women's game as well. We have Smriti Mandhana, whose stroke making is beautiful to watch. We've got Shafali Verma, who's an explosive batsman, and she's just 17, 18 years old. And so many like them. Jemima Rodriguez is another example. And I really hope that, you know, they get the opportunities that people like Mithali and Julan did not get, because it's really about time that change happens. On that note, thank you very much, Sharda, for joining us.
Thanks very much, Rudro. It was great being here and talking about this. And I think we should just keep talking about this over and over again, and maybe someone will hear and it'll sort of rattle a few cages and bones and so on. Thank you so much.
Thank you to our listeners as well, and see you in the next episode.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on @HTSmartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production, brought to you by HT Smartcast. The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.